know, people are so need-centered that when God starts blessing, they don't know how to practice Christianity again. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? So need-centered that you can get distracted. All right? You get distracted suddenly. It's when you now have money to buy shoes. You know, I love shoes. Suddenly the lady said, well, you know, I love shoes. I wore this shoe to church. I can't wear this shoe again. I need to come to service. I just watched online. I don't have shoe to wear. Meanwhile, when there was nothing, the thorns too were not growing. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah? Everything was inside. We didn't know how much you love shoes. Now suddenly, you know, I just love shoes. All right? So because you come back, you say, all the shoes here. All right? I say, I have love clothes. I can't wear the same thing. I wore that 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks. No. But when you only have three, you wear. You'll come in and be rejoicing. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means those things begin to grow and choke. So what am I saying here? When God starts blessing you there, get focused. Remain focused. All right? Understand this, that these blessings are coming for a purpose. It's when you seek the face of God in a different way. Where you go up to God and understand that now that I have means to get things done, I must seek your face here. There was an elderly wise man that saw a young man climbing up a tree. And he left him while he was climbing through the branches. He didn't see anything. When he got to the top, the boy decided to come down. And as he decided, the elderly man said, take care now. Watch your step now. He said, sir, why are you disturbing me? When I was going up that I needed your help, you didn't say anything. Now that I got to the top, you are now talking. He said, we have been in this life. People don't make mistakes when they are climbing up because they know they must be careful. It's when they arrive that they think we have arrived, they start making the biggest mistakes of their lives. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when people begin, people can hardly make financially wrong decisions when it's only 5,000 naira you have. 3,000 naira decision, what investment? If it goes, are you following what I'm saying here? But a person that invested, I'm tempted not to say amen, but 30 million, all right, in that, are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah? If a person has only 2,000, that's it, 2,000 has gone. MMM has taken my money. Oh, we'll move on. But if a person has 30 million, a 30 million mistake is different from a 2,000 mistake. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah? You understand this? He's even more alert when he's holding the 2,000. Are you understand what I'm saying? So at that point, those things, that's where you need it to. All right? Make sure your prayer life is intact. Make sure that the source, which is the word of God, the same time and attention you pay to the word of God, you still pay to God's word. Are you following what I'm saying? So there's a way in which, you know, you God blesses you, but you stay humble. All right? That people look at you and, you are interacting with people that on the social stage, you can buy them 10 times over. But you get what I'm saying here. But nobody knows. You are right there doing that kind of mindset. Then purpose can come. All right? You say, well, I've been blessed. I can buy my house on 2 acres. All right? It's not for you to go and call other people to come and see. Can you see my house on 2 acres? Can you see this? 2 acres, 2 acres. The purpose is that now you're on 2 acres, God says you can build a prayer room. So you see all that praying that you say, man, great hall, you couldn't do when you were in that small apartment. Well, when you start, my God, they knock on your door. Please come. All right? Now you can build your room there and you can make it soundproof and can be grabala shaya. And God can tell you, now it's time to pray for China because you see, those people that are being held back in those small apartments, you can now pray now. All right? Man, grab, and you can be doing it there and say, listen, and all of that. You are entering into purpose. Nobody has to know your house. Do you get what I'm saying here? Nobody has to know the kind of house you come to live in. In fact, when they get there, they say, this is where you are coming out of. And we just see you like, ha ha. Are you following what I'm saying? But to get to that point, all right, so, and people sometimes don't know Satan's strategy. His strategy is persecute. Get them into a mindset that the only thing I do is attack. So they are waiting for attack. Then join them in doing it. When they were building the wall, they were attacking. After some time, the people that were attacking said, look, these people are going higher and higher. Let's go and join them. Those people quickly switched and understood, Nehemiah, that the strategy has changed. They are no longer opposing us. They are joining us. So Satan from mankind can join you now in saying you are blessed financially. Eh? You are blessed now. Eh? You are blessed now. Eh? You are blessed now. God, Blessed man. Blessed man. Oh, yes. And you are now walking. Yes. Blessed man. Oh, the blessed man. All right? Let me tell you, that probably is even more difficult to the human nature than facing challenge. Managing success than surmounting. Human nature can endure. Give power is where the problem starts. Are you following what I'm saying? Someone says, well, in crisis, he was my friend. Wait for power to come. So that's those that fell upon thorns there. The Bible says the thorns grew. So those things start growing. All right? So other lusts of other things begin to come. Right? That's when you are in a very good expensive car, but somehow after 6 weeks, you are no longer satisfied. Car that before, when you pray, dangerous prayer. Only to get it. Not now. I don't really like it. The seats. Are you following what I'm saying here? The seats. Where I just go in the bump. Alright? There's nothing wrong with the car. Maybe you just saw somebody else driving a more expensive car. So you want to be that person. Nothing wrong with the car. So how do we deal with, let me just zero in on this, stony ground. Because once you get into this, this is your holy priesthood, then you can get into your royal priesthood. And what stops people from multiplication is increase. What I'm saying is this, they get choked. Which means when God increases you, if you handle it right, then you get multiplied. If you don't get distracted and you stay focused, all right, then it gets multiplied. If you get distracted, wastage starts. You want to see businesses that multiply, went from just being city champions to the whole continent. The person in charge, when they got $500,000 that made them chairman in the city, they focused on the business. And then it went to $50 million and they went national. And they focused on it. They were studious. They locked themselves up. They weren't lavish. Yes, there were moments where they will enjoy themselves, but they were focused that there is more to it than this. They didn't get distracted. So, those that fell upon stony ground, quickly here, the Bible tells us in verse 17, they have no roots in themselves, so endure for a time, and then afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake. So it's affliction or persecution. And Paul realized this and said, look, this is increase. So he said, I now count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations. James said that, but Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart. The same way the plant, all right, enjoys the sun. He says, I want you to enjoy affliction and persecution. That's the attitude. Enjoy it. You bask in that and growth begins to come. He said, now I take pleasure. He didn't say I endure. He said, I take pleasure in necessity. I glory in my infirmities. I take pleasure in these things. For when I'm made weak, in those areas, the strength of God. So anywhere the persecution goes is the place where the strength is going to be made manifest. All right? So what do you do during this time? What do you do when the affliction and persecution, what's the secret that will bring about increase and bring about the blessing of God into your life? All right? The Bible tells us of Abraham. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that when Abraham was tried, all right, or tested or tried, he offered up his only begotten son, for he that had received the promises, all right, received him back in a figure. So it tells us when he was tried. Now, we think that Abraham was tried by God, which means when God told Abraham, go and offer your son, it was a test. No. I read the Greek word for that word tried is the same Greek word that says that when James said, if you endure temptation, you will receive a crown of life. But that when a man is tempted, let him not say, I'm tempted of God. That word tempted and the word tried are the same word. So it wasn't God that tried Abraham. What happened was that Abraham got into a test. And when Abraham got into a test, God told Abraham, that, listen, what you should do in this test is to offer up Isaac on the altar. And if you offer up Isaac, you are coming out of this test. So Abraham understood that. So when a test comes, what we're saying, it is a time to offer up things to God. This is the understanding. That it's the time where God, you are to offer up. A lot of people during that time are trying to say, look, something has to be given to me. Right? If it's affliction, they get offended in God. If it's persecution, they get offended in men. Right? I've been rejected. Something must be given to me. God says the secret, Jesus is saying, is that during that time, the Bible says Abraham, who had received the promises, right? He was able to do that. So Abraham had spent time on God's word to the point where he had received the promises. The Bible says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That's what we're talking about. You allow the word to take root. Abraham had received it. You receive those words inside so that when the test comes, your response is right. And the word received means he had entertained the promise of God and he had been showed hospitality. That's how you say it, to the promise of God inside his heart. In other words, Abraham had entertained being a father of many nations. He had entertained the idea on the inside of him. He had, you know, he had allowed that idea to get into him. He didn't push it back. He entertained it. He saw himself as a father of many nations. He took possession. You entertain, right? Many people, God has said things, but you're not entertaining those thoughts. You are not allowing them to come into your life from time to time where, you know, you just think about life in the light of these promises. That these things are fulfilled in my life. And just think how life will shape out and how, you know, the responses of people will be to you being in possession of this thing. All right? He entertained it. I mean, I was listening to a committee talk about a minister of God in this country. When they had nothing, said in 86, we were in taxi, said we drove past National Stadium. He said, and the man told us, one day I'll pack that place out. And he did it very probably in 94, 95. What that means, he was entertaining the idea. God showed him. He was entertaining, seeing himself. Even when he was walking on the road, seeing himself with that thing. So Abraham had entertained. And when you allow the word of God to take root, you've entertained the thought of God's word, how it will fit into your life and how it will shape up in your life. Someone says, well, when I finally find the man or woman, then I will entertain the idea of how my home will be. Do you get what I'm saying here? All right? Let's all receive the promise of God, has entertained it inside. Has seen it on the inside, has received the promises of God. So he was able to offer up. So you are appointed during a test to something, but people can be disobedient to that. What are you appointed to? As a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing unto God. So there is the holy priesthood you offer up. And these are spiritual sacrifices. And what are the sacrifices? Because of time. Hebrews 13 says that, listen, the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of your lips giving continually, the fruit of your lips giving thanks unto his name. And then to do good and to communicate. So the secret is this, first of all, offer the sacrifice of praise. The Bible says, and then next one, 16, to do good, for which sacrifices God is well pleased. That's what 1 Peter talks about. Spiritual sacrifices are pleasing unto him. So you offer this during the time of the test. You offer up praise and count it all joy. So that is what you need to do. All right, enjoy even though people might reject you. Understand that God's love, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Rejoice in that love. Praise God for what he has done for you. And then what you should do again, instead of concentrating, many people start gravitating towards who can help me. All right, what can people do? What you should do on the inside is what, go to God. Where, how do I give? Who are the people that I need? This is the secret of the kingdom. All right? Praise God. Worship him for his promises. Thank him for that moment. Go out there and look for people. Who can I help? Who can I, where can I do good? Ask God to lead you. And if you combine both things together during that time, then spiritual increase begins to come. If you refuse, all right, to get bitter as a person, but you offer up the sacrifice of praise, and then you go out, and that's what Abraham did. You offer up your Isaac. There will be an Isaac during that time. Something that you or some people that you felt, I cannot get into my destiny without these people. And during that time, God says, release this thing. Let them go. Forgive. All right? I have other ways, other cards I want to play. Don't get stuck in this. Release this. And if you do that, and he says, go out. Look for people that I need. I mean, I shared this on Wednesday. Bill, Wednesday, I heard him teach this before. He and his wife were believing God for something. He said, and they knew that one day he got home. He said, listen, and the wife was cooking. And he said, this smells nice. This is going to be a great meal. The wife said, no, this is not for us. God told me to cook it. There's somebody who needs this. We need to go and give it to the person. And so they bought groceries and they packed everything together and went out to the poorest place in Chicago to look for the people. During that time, you condescend to men of low estate. All right? Not trying to network in the natural, but go and meet people in the low estate. Go there. Go and hang around people. All right? You can park your car. You can go and visit people. Go there. It says to visit orphans, to do that. This is the secret of the kingdom here. Go and visit. Go and look for people in needy areas. He said when he got there, then the Holy Spirit begins to speak and will lead you. He said they were going to knock on one door. The Holy Ghost said, no, that's not the person. That's not the person. So they said, he said they got a name. They asked. They told them the person that they seem to be asking for, all right, is on maybe the fifth floor. They went there and knocked. Said the woman opened the door. And he said, God led us here to give you all this stuff. The woman turned around and she just turned around and said, I told you people Jesus will answer the prayer. And when they looked, she had set the table. Her children were on the table. She said, we had prayed that God will bring food. And I told these children God is faithful. He said, here is the food. Which means that was a divine connection. I'm telling you that when you are in a time of need, your own thing that you can spend anyhow is somebody's prayer that has been answered. And once you begin to make those divine connections, you must be led by the Spirit. You pray about it. And God tells you, this is what I want you to do. All right? He says, look, he says, give up this Isaac. All right, give up this state here. This is what I want you to do. Pray about it. Get comfortable in your spirit, but gravitate towards men of low estate. Go and don't try, no, let me say I can network with people. Maybe if I talk to my uncle, he will help me and talk to that person. You know, I need a job. Somebody told me in this church, said, you know, I had a problem. My husband, she left with two children, teenagers. I didn't know where I was going to pay school fees. Said, then I heard the announcement on Edward. He said, listen to me. I came into church. I heard, I joined the announcement. And I went and started helping children that I need. I said, supernaturally, God started paying the bills of my own children's school fees. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the way it works. When people, they're under pressure, they are thinking. That's why 2 Corinthians says, in their abject poverty and their necessity in affliction, they gave of themselves beyond, which means that is the grace there. And says, God will cause all grace. There is no grace that is available to abound towards you. All right? Which means when there's pressure, don't think about what you can get. Think about what you can give. Pray about that. All right? Pray about that. Right? Because once there's pressure there, God is saying, I want to bring something into your life. But for it to come into your life, you must let go of something that is in your spirit. Let me tell you this morning, I finished preparing for this message. I don't know how I stumbled on this video. 1 minute, about 23 seconds, of a gentleman who said something. I'll never forget the story for the rest of my life. I said, this is it. Because you can't pour new wine into old wineskin. The new thing cannot come into a life that is the way it is. He said, when I finished college, a popular man, very successful, but let's not call his name. Because he might disagree with his theology. So, let me just say the story. He said, when I got out of college, that's university now in America, he said, as I was telling my mother every day in her house, I'm going to get a brand new car. He said, every 2 weeks, I would tell her. And my mother will respond every time I told her. And say, but you have your old car up there on the blocks in the parking lot. He said, then he would tell her again, and she would say, but your old car. And he thought she was saying that go and get the old car and use it. Said after saying it for about 3 months, the mother replied. Then he asked the mother that he knew that she was a Sunday school teacher at church. That why do you repeat this? He said, son, she said, son, if you're praying for something from God, then you have to create room for you to receive it. I'm telling you that that car there is holding back what God is bringing. She said, I moved the car, swept the place, took the car out, cleaned the place out. 2 weeks from then, he said, I had a brand new car in the exact spot. What am I telling you? Some of you are holding to things that is stopping what you're supposed to come in. Are you following what I'm saying here? When something new must come in, you must clear out. That is all. Some of you are holding to people you thought should help you, that are not God's plan to help you. And because you are holding on to those people, the real people, there's no space in your life. You can't pour new wine into old wineskin. Do you get what we're saying here? So you let go. That's the principle of giving. You are praising God for his promises in the midst of the pressure. That God, I hold on to, but listen, I let go of this. All right? And you're praying, what is there? And the minute you let go of what you're supposed to let go in your life, that thing just comes easily into the space of your life. So many people have uncles they feel should have helped them, that didn't help them. That's where they are stuck. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people feel this person should have married them, they married them. That's where they are stuck. All right? Some people feel this didn't happen. That's where they are stuck. So it's time to let that Isaac go. So take the Isaac to the altar and say, God, fine. Now, once I let go of this, I don't know where the blessing is coming. Now I don't know. Because I thought in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In his shall the family. Now I don't know where this is coming from. Are you following what I'm saying? Some people can't serve properly at work because they feel that it's through the promotion there they'll be able to get the finances they need. And because that promotion has not come, it has disturbed you. So you let go of the promotion. So whether they promote me or not, God's plan will come to pass. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't get stuck on anything. That's what Isaac means. Inside you, that you as a person, all right, you are holding on to, that is not making you move. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this kingdom principle. Let your word take root deep on the inside of us and establish us in the path of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just rise to our feet and just pray this prayer God gave me over people's lives. And here is the blessing of comfort from God. And he gave me these words. As Lamech begot his first son and named him Noah, which means comforter, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground that the Lord hath caused. I declare into everybody's life under the sound of my voice that by the grace of the true comforter, the Spirit of God, you shall find the earth yielding an unusual increase for your labor this week in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord shall recompense your work and a full reward if you have labored without a reward. I declare, a full reward shall shortly be given unto thee. Amen. By the Lord your God. Amen. That as Ruth was rewarded in that she found favor in the eyes of someone to whom she was a foreigner and stranger, so shall the Lord bless you by someone with whom you have had no prior contact. Amen. And that person shall speak friendly unto you. Amen. And shall elevate you in life in the name of Jesus. As God comforted Job in his losses and blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning and restored unto him double of that which he lost, I declare into your life, if you've suffered any loss, that the Lord has restored that which the enemy has stolen back to you. Amen. And that you shall live on this earth with no scar of mourning, for you shall receive twice of that which you lost in the past in the name of Jesus. For those who are in some deep trouble right now, you are in crisis. You step out of this place and there's trouble out there. I declare into your life that the Lord has quickened you again. He has brought you out of the depth of the earth. He has increased your greatness by that thing. And he has comforted you on every side. This week, the Lord shall show you a token of good, so that those who thought evil of you will see the mercy of God at work upon the earth in the name of Jesus. Thus saith the Lord of hosts unto you, my cities, that is the work of your hands, through prosperity, good deeds, shall yet be spread abroad. The Lord has comforted and chosen you, such that he has spread your work abroad into all four corners of the earth in the name of Jesus. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening.